In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. I'm speaking today with singer-songwriter Jesse Mallon, a favorite of ours here in the Underground Garage. In the past, he's even been a fill-in disc jockey. Back in the 1990s, he fronted the band D-Generation and afterwards went on to pursue his successful solo career. Tragedy struck last year, though, in June, when he suffered a very rare stroke of the spinal column that's left him paralyzed from the waist down. Jesse joins us today to catch us up on his recovery process and also let us know about some upcoming releases and projects he's working on. First, though, we'll hear a bit of his song, Greener Pastures. It's off of 2021's release, Sad and Beautiful World. It's Jesse Mallon here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Waking up in Dallas, in the lights are low and dim. We all want somewhere to begin. I sent for my prescription, but it hasn't shown up yet. I'll know the feeling when it does. The greener pastures always wait for you. This fragile world, so bittersweet. I'm waiting on an answer, but it hasn't shown up yet. We all want a reason to believe. Greener pastures always wait for you. You can make it tonight.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and we've got a very special Coolest Conversations lined up today with Jesse Mallon, musician, songwriter, producer, entrepreneur, and longtime friend of the Underground Garage. Thanks for joining me, Jesse.
Hey, Manfred. Good to hear your voice and see you, man. It's been a while.
Well, good to be speaking with you, my friend. I guess it was, well, in fact, I know it was July of 2022 that we last spoke. And about a year later, last June of 2023, you had this pretty rare event, this weird stroke of a spinal column, rare occurrence. Can you explain exactly what is that, a stroke of the spinal column?
Well, it's kind of rare, which is wild. It's just, you know, circulation, blood flow stopped going. I was walking to a restaurant, you know, in my neighborhood, Italian restaurant, around 6 o'clock, and started to feel this weirdness in my hips and my legs. And as I said before, when I'd been asked this, I thought I wore the wrong boots or something. I was like, wow, this is strange, and tried to get through the meal. But, you know, it got worse as the meal went on around 6, 7 o'clock. And what happened was this stroke happened in my spine, in the lower spine, and it cut the circulation, and it left me, you know, for not being able to walk and, you know, paralyzed in a lot of ways. And I was taken to the hospital and then another hospital, and in the hospital for several months, eventually a rehab, and pretty much trying to, you know, find a way to function in this and get as much back. But it's something that they don't have as much information on. And it definitely left me in a rough place for now. I've had some progress, but, you know, could tell you more, but it's something that's not as common. My brain and upper body and everything is pretty good. And I have been getting some stuff back below the waist, which is nice with each step of the work and the progress. I'm hoping to take this as far as I can to recovery, but it's slow and it's very hard on the mind and the body and the spirit, especially somebody, I'm such an active person, you know.
Right. Well, you mentioned it's a rare thing. Was there difficulty in diagnosing exactly what had happened because of its rarity?
That's a good question. You're right on with that. Yeah, they did so many tests and they had to rule out so many things and went into my spine and went up in there, and besides MRIs, you know, went in to try to find out that they thought maybe something burst, like there was this infarction might have been from something called a fistula. They were not sure. And that's the stuff that's crazy, because you want to be like, all right, how did this happen? How can we fix it? And they did check and try to cross off a lot of things that, you know, they didn't want something worse to happen while I was there under their watch. But yeah, it had 5 months of touring and, you know, so many plans and things coming, and, you know, to not be able to do music, but then to not be able to walk and not be able to, you know, really take care of myself in the way, you know, that I am, and to be in hospitals and hotels. I mean, I couldn't go to once I got out of the hospital, I lived in a walk up downtown. So it was 2-3 flights up. That was kind of rough to have to, you know, not be able to go home and not have a place for a long time, and just being in and out of, you know, hotels and hospitals. So that'll make it crazy. But yeah, I try to stay really positive. There's been so much love and so much support from friends and family and my fans, you know, sending messages and cards and PMA, as we speak about positive mental attitude. And it's right. Definitely been challenging. Music has got me through listening and, you know, listening to stuff, listening to this channel, listening to, you know, whatever, my friend's music, and also just, you know, when I can. I'm very busy in physical therapy because I'm on this mission. So it exhausts me that I don't have tons of time to play guitar, but I've written a little bit.
So. Well, let me ask you about some of this rehabilitation stuff, because my understanding is that you're going to a clinic in South America, Buenos Aires, and has some of the stem cell treatment. What does that all entail? I mean,
there was an appeal to it is, you know, a friend of mine looked at just like several places around the world, and this place had some results with stem cell infusions. It's not embryonic stem cells, it's your own cells, and they put them in IV. And the part that also appealed to me, you know, because I'd read a lot about stem cells being able to help regenerate nerves and connectivity, but that was combined with physical therapy 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, which was really extensive. And unfortunately, in the States, my insurance stopped paying for the physical therapy down to like an hour a week. And this, you know, wasn't going to fly for me. I need to be doing stuff with therapists. And the idea that they give you the cells and then they work you out for a month and then give you another batch of cells of your cells and then work you out. And I was down there 3 months, and it's tricky to not be able to walk or speak the language and be in this foreign country, far from home and you know, friends. And so it was challenging, but the people were so compassionate and intelligent, hardworking, great therapists and warm people in Buenos Aires. And they love rock and roll. You see Rolling Stones t-shirts and Ramones stuff everywhere, and a lot of touring. I mean, I'm not going to shows or anything, but just to feel that that's in the air, they get it. And that was nice comfort. But yeah, that really just the idea of the combination of the stem cells plus the extensive physical therapy on a very different schedule. You know, I get up early and, you know, it knocks the hell out of you. But I've you know, I'm a runner and in my regular days and a physical performer. And so, you know, I don't mind doing the work, but it does get you exhausted. And I have seen results. That's the positive thing. When people ask, there has been progress. Yeah, I would like it to be faster and be ready to jump around and stuff and go for a run. But it's a slow thing. But it's there has been some progress, which is nice. It's just a lot of commitment to it, and trying to keep your head in a good place is tough. So, you know, I thank everybody for the love.
Well, in fact, speaking of you know, recovering, advancement, and my understanding is that you were able to stand upright recently. I mean, it hasn't even been a year that this event occurred. That's going to be a huge milestone, right? How exactly did that take place, and how recent was that?
Well, they start you getting you up in about a month or so in NYU. I was at Rusk here in New York, and then they get you up with a lot of assistance with braces and with, you know, help from the therapist holding you and try to get you just moving in that way. But as time went on, the work with them in New York and then going to Buenos Aires, you know, they really want you up in that position, even if it's with assistance of a walker or braces. And more, just do it every day. And it's pretty scary because you feel like you're going to fall or, you know, they even put blindfolds on you and have you walk with the walker. They're watching you, but like they want you to feel things in a different way. And with, you know, the hopes that the brain will reconnect and that these pathways will open up. And by doing this, you know, the sensory will come back, because to try to walk without feeling and if, you know, as much as if your legs are fine, if I gave you a shot in the butt and your legs went out and I said, try to walk, it'd be, you know, like a Jerry Lewis film. But you do learn. And so I have been up, and I even recently came home for the holidays before going back to South America. And I worked a lot with therapists here on the break. And we got outside with the walker out in the neighborhood in Manhattan to be on the sidewalk. Yeah. And it's very pleasurable to be straight up, because to be in a chair or a bed and not be standing straight up, it's not natural for the body. So, you know, it felt good to move forward. It's scary, you know, all the sidewalk cracks and people and this and that. And, you know, so it's different. And yeah, I don't want to be like, hey, I'm ready to come and run down the street, but it's steps. And every day I work towards those. And yes, so that is the short answer.
Oh, wow.
Well, man, it's a good answer. This is I mean, to me, you know, having had the event and we're not even at the year anniversary, if you want to call it, it hasn't even been a year.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, encouraging. I think that's really great. And, you know, there was a quote, what was it, in Rolling Stone about, and you've alluded to this, but I want to follow up on it here, you know, about you having a lot of anxiety and insomnia, your mind goes into some dark places, but I just have to keep a positive outlook and believe. I mean, it's a lot of work to focus on keeping that, you know, if there's a little bit going. I mean, is it... Some days you feel like you're getting there, and other days you feel like, you know, God, do I have to put myself through this?
It's that. And, you know, some days I have pain, and that's not good. You know, pain kind of takes your mind in a place. Plus, being away from home or even being home, you wake up in the middle of the night and suddenly you think like, wow, this is forever. And, this is, it's just such a different way of existing. And everything that I, love to do is very active. So there's like a bit of a trapped feeling sometimes, and many feelings. But it's good to talk to you. It's good to talk about it, I guess they say. If you could talk about your demons or whatever, that it helps, kind of in a way, I guess, what they invented therapy for that or whatever. But just in general, I mean, me and you and other artists, we've had music to sing about our pain and our frustration, but this is a hard one to process. And I wish I
That's
was on the on this conversation talking about, just the latest tour and the latest record. And this is a it's a hard conversation, because sometimes when I talk about it, I don't feel better. I feel worse. It's like,
yeah.
wow, this is really happening. And, people have been so generous, but I'd rather be the one putting the benefit on, or the showing the support for my community and friends, than
And
having
you
a hard
have
time
done
taking.
that.
I have a
That's what's
hard
so
time taking. I
incredible.
have a
You,
hard time receiving.
well, right. Well, but and you should
Oh,
receive. I mean, man, dude,
yeah.
you've done so much for other people, and you talk about benefits, and you think of your former bandmates and Howie and all this stuff. No one deserves to have anything like this happen to them. But the fact that you put so much out, then you deserve a lot back, and support to get through this. And regarding, talking about, listen, there are other cool things we can talk about here, because, well, one you've got is this documentary coming out. I guess it was made while you were making music during COVID, and this release is going to coincide, I think, with a live album on Wicked Cool. Can you tell us some about the documentary? When did this take place? Were you doing this yourself, or
It's with
what's
a
the word on it?
filmmaker named Dave Steckard, who well, the film is called Chasing the Light, and it's a live record too. I mean, I guess when COVID hit, and I thought that was his worst thing that could happen. God, that I know. But really, I found myself doing these live streams in my apartment, which led
Yeah.
to us doing them during COVID time in venues that were empty. And that became a thing called the fine art of self-distancing, and with characters like Bob Strauss and then different guests when we could be close to each other that were local other artists, and interviews
Yeah.
that I did. So the film is kind of about what we went through as a band and my fan base and my crew, and how we tried to stay afloat and entertain the troops, and how we went about it without any guidebook, just kind of like in this unknown when this was going to end, what was going to happen, kind of scary time of this. So it's kind of about that, but it also is a concert film at the Sheen Theater on Bleecker Street. And then it also has conversations and things with people like HR from Bad Brains and Eugene from Gogol Bordello and Tommy Stinson, and it has some of that flavor, but it's a show. But then there's, bits with Bob Strauss, but it also explains a lot of my journey to a certain point of wanting to make things happen when the odds, are against you. And I think we all face that. So it has some of that, and it's not very long. It's maybe an hour and change. It's not like a 3 hour Apocalypse Now, commentary, dysentery, dictionary. But that, and then yeah, with the live record, we had done this for like a year and a half, so we kind of became this thing. And then we said, let's take this to a big theater. And Dave and Xander Strom came in and filmed it. And then we just didn't want it to be like a concert film, because those, there's so many of those. So I wanted there to be something. And the interesting part that's kind of funny is I had to do a narrative throughout to kind of give it some kind of connection of cohesiveness. And I did the narrative like on my third week in the hospital. They came in, Jeff Sanoff with a microphone, our engineer producer. And so when I listened back, I don't even know how I did this. I was pretty out of my mind and body. And I do this kind of Goodfellas type of host narrative of it. So yeah,
Well,
that's
the
it.
tracks that are on there on the live album, what is this? Are there like covers on there you hadn't done before? Are you drawing really on the catalog that we're already familiar with, or what is the songs that are actually performed? Where are they? from.
It's some stuff, you know, live versions, which always are different once you live inside songs, as you know. So it's stuff from Sunset Kids and Sad and Beautiful World, the more recent records, but there's some stuff that goes back to the earlier albums. And then there's covers, as you mentioned. There's, you know, Danny Says by the Ramones that was off the Christmas special. And we do a Pogue song, and we do, I think there's a few covers in there for sure. HR from Bad Brains, we do a Bad Brains song called I and I Survived that
All right,
is a great reggae tune that, and HR does that with us. So there's a mix of things. We definitely shake it up. I don't like to put out stuff that people have already. I always feel as a fan, when I buy stuff, I always want, like, give me the stuff I don't have. Give me something,
Right.
you know, take it a little further. And it definitely has that. So,
So can you tell me, or do you know when is the album, and when does it get released?
I believe it's coming in June. I think they might start the
Okay.
pre-orders at some point. I know there was a trailer made. The album with, I think, comes with a you know, with the film, so in some format, Blu-ray, DVD, or some card you stick in your box or whatever.
Yeah, I was renting movies the other day, and actually going to a video store because it's, you know, stuff that's like, I've never been big on. Well, my daughter was with me. She could use the interwebs to download films through Netflix, and I was chastised for not doing so. And then I was like, well, okay, well let's look at this. Oh no, they don't have that. Well, let's look at this. No, they don't have that. Well, you know, I can go to the video store and they do have those things. You know what I mean?
You just want to be able to get what you want, see it. Oh
Well,
yeah, there's that
right, you
film.
know, and I don't mind going to the video store and actually interacting with another human being. That's not so bad, you
Yeah, I
know.
like when you go to a record store too, so
Even
even
better,
better,
right?
right?
Oh, real quick, I was so went I was in a Walker's Play recently overseas, go to a record store, and this was in Spain, and shopping there with Barrence Whitfield. And we were going through, and that is just like there's something international about record store clerks and what pricks they are. It was just didn't matter that it was, you know, different culture, different language. The guy was just the regular record store jerk, you know, just a
Yeah,
regular.
well, that's what's that movie with Jack Black, School of Rock, right? That has that, you know, they're
Yeah,
over there.
High Fidelity, is that High Fidelity?
Oh yeah, right, High Fidelity. Sorry, that yeah, right. See, my brain's
Yeah.
not
Oh,
going there.
anyway, okay, back on track. So, also your second solo album, this is 2004's The Heat, that's scheduled to be reissued on Record Store Day. It's going to happen Saturday, April the 20th. So who is issuing that?
I think it's a label called Monarch that ended up owning when Artemis Records, that was on a while back, you know, when these albums came out, Fine Art of
Yeah.
Self-Destruction and The Heat, they kind of picked up the catalog and have it.
Okay.
So they're doing that. They did, it was the 20th anniversary recently of Fine Art of Self-Destruction, my first record. And you blink your eyes, and now it's the 20th anniversary of The Heat, my second record. So this is a 20th anniversary reissue thing.
Well, so can you? I mean, so 20 years, and like I say, I totally identify with this blinking your eyes, and then it's like, wow. Can you still relate to the songs, the experiences, you know, or do you find yourself so far removed from that version of you? What's it like if you when you go back and
Both
listen to
things, I think, you know, both things. Some things I can go right back to that moment by singing that song, and other things, some of the people that you might be written about, you have a different perspective on, or, you know, things that you were hoping would turn out one way might have turned out a different way, or you've healed from certain things. You know, it's just some of the pain when it was written or the reason behind it. And then you could say, wow, as much as 20 years has changed, some things haven't changed at all. You know, it's like, this was a second record, and those can be tricky to write. They say you have your whole life to write your first album, but for me, I'd been in bands, so Fine Art of Self-Destruction wasn't my first album, but it was my first solo record, which was
Right.
liberating. And this Heat record was written a lot on the road, and you try, or I didn't want to have like a, oh, on the road record and how hard the road is and all that, but some of it did seep in because I was away a lot and in Europe. And at this time, my friends were starting to have kids and families. And I felt like, you know, I was very lucky to be playing and had an audience, but I felt disconnected from the people back home. So there's a lot of little messages and notes to what I was missing, or I thought I was, you know, missing out on. But I'm proud of the record. It's a different one. Definitely, it took a lot more chances than I think some of the albums I've made over the years. And it's something that's fun to listen to for me now, and I enjoy it. So.
Well, we're going to take a listen to one of those tracks, Hotel Columbia, in a couple of minutes. But first, I want to ask you about a couple other things. And you mentioned, you know, the writing process related to the heat, and now you've got, you know, the crazy life stuff you have to deal with, the traveling, rehabilitation. Or is this whole experience, you know, a font for more creativity? I mean, are you able to write anything?
I have been doing some writing and keeping some journals, and I definitely, you know, have one or two new songs. It's just my energy is so into the therapy every day, and it takes a lot out of me. By the time I get back from the clinic, when I'm down there, I'm pretty cooked. But I do try to carve out that time, because it when it clicks and when it's there, it's very helpful, you know. So that have that release, and you know, I do want to make more music in life. I, you know, that's just what I do. But yeah, there's been writing, but I wish there's been more, and I wish I had more time for it, because you know, people are like, oh, write a whole record, but they just don't know how long everything takes.
Right. Well, I love that you said you mentioned your journals, because that's come up before. I was going to refer to it as a notebook, but you're jotting down things, lyric ideas, song ideas, drawing on those when you have other inspiration. I think that's just a great way to keep all the ideas in your head, you know, keep them floating around, so you can access them. Have you thought about, I mean, when's the idea of, because performing was pretty important to you, I know, and you know, the way you were performing before, you can't do that right now. But do you still long to perform? Is that something you're looking forward to? Is it something, well, you just want to put off until you feel like this is the time, or what's the thought process going on with actually performing music?
I had a friend I had just met, a new friend in Argentina, and he was very supportive. This guy, Sebastian, he was a friend of Bob Gruen's, a photographer, that said, I know somebody down there. So the guy came around a bunch to the clinic and to the hotel, and just was pushing me to go play with some musicians. And I put it off for as long as I could. I just wasn't ready. But then I did, and I sat down, which is different, and I sang, and the voice was there. And it felt good to play with these Argentine guys who were really enthusiastic. And I gave them a little list of songs. So I came home from the holidays, I called up my band, and, you know, the guys I played with for so many years, and we, you know, we were heartbroken. It was the family when this happened. Everybody was just like, we had so many plans from the spring throughout the fall. We got together in a room. I was able to get down into the space, and, you know, for a few hours, a limited window, and just sing, and it felt so good. So we decided to do it again while I was home, and invite a couple friends and some family people just to see what it would be like to sit there and try to, you know, get through a set, what it would be, and just do like an intimate thing. I wasn't ready to do like a proper show. And, you know, it's in my mind to come back and play, and, you know, it would be helpful for the soul, to work again, to have some income, because that's been a stress to not be able to do what we do. And but I'm trying to put all that out of my head, and just, it was just great to see the guys. It was super emotional, and to play and sing these songs, and the voice was there, and that felt good. And even though I was seated, it was a different focus and a different energy, but there was something to pull from that was good for the soul. So yeah, I plan to figure that out once I go do more work, and you know, at some point do a show that's meaningful, and to me, you know, and to the band, where we really get to play to our crowd and to the people, especially throughout this time. I didn't realize that, you know, I knew I had great fans. I thought I had some of the best fans, but now I'm certain, you know, just the cards and the notes and the gifts and just the mess just online. It makes me cry often when I read it. I have to pull away. It's so powerful, and I'm grateful. So trying to appreciate the things and keep pushing for those stuff. You know, I want to be standing and moving when I play. But if it takes longer and I need to get out and do something to do it, I will.
You mentioned, of course, loss of income. You know, you're a touring musician, I mean, there is a sweetrelief.org. There is a Jesse Malin fund. I mean, people can still donate to help you with your medical expenses, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a thing too, to mention that Sweet Relief came through as an organization, and fans and friends donating throughout this time has been something that I wouldn't be able to get by without. I mean, healthcare in this country is not covered by my insurance the way we need it, and home care and stuff, and the nursing. It's been so helpful. So anybody listening that has donated or whatever, helped in any way, even if they sent a note, I want to say thanks. But yeah, Sweet Relief Fund is still up there, and people have donated photos and music and artwork and made calendars and done different things to put the money into that. Even wine, a bottle of wine, City Winery here in New York, and artists have done things, and photographers like Danny Clinch and Bob Gruen. So it's been there, and that is something I'm really grateful for. So
that is sweetrelief.org, Jesse Malin Fund. Jesse, man, thank you so much for sharing with us all of what you've been dealing with, bringing us up to date, on your plans, kind of this roadmap for the future. And, on behalf of all your friends and the world's best fans everywhere, we wish you a complete recovery, and hang in there, man. We love you.
Yeah, I love you too, man, friend. I love you guys. And thank you for the music. I do listen down in Buenos Aires on my phone, and it's really great, to hear all the songs out there, and just... It's inspiring in the morning to wake up and have that power. So, that music gives us, it's definitely a healer. And I will be back. And great to talk to you, brother.
Well, let's get some Jesse Malin music healing going on here. Your track Hotel Columbia off the soon to be issued album The Heat. Jesse Malin and Little Stevens Underground Garage.
Call me up, call me up, call me up, Columbia.
eponymous solo album Heat, due to be reissued in April on Record Store Day. That was Jesse Malin here in Little Steven's Underground Garage with Hotel Columbia. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Jesse for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. New York City guitar slinger Steve Conti, he also has an upcoming release due out in April on Record Store Day. It's titled Concrete Jungle, and to help promote it, he's got a digital single out now called Shoot Out the Stars. It's available from Wicked Cool Records. Steve wrote the tune with Andy Partridge from XTC, and we'll find out all about it next time around on your Coolest Conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.